witness, Lord J, comes to us from our epistle lesson for the day, from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, especially this verse where he says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." They say it happens to almost all women who are with child. No, it isn't those things most pregnant women notice about themselves. It isn't the protruding stomach. It isn't the morning sickness. It isn't the strange cravings. No, all the experts say what women who are with child have in common is that they often have a glow about them. Yes, they have what's often simply referred to as the pregnancy glow. The fact that they have a child growing inside of them can be seen in the flush of their cheeks or the slight sheen present on their skin, oiled from their increasingly active glands. As I mentioned, these aren't the things that pregnant women notice first about themselves. In fact, a pregnancy glow is something that most pregnant women don't think they ever have. But the truth is this. The world sees it. Yes, it's something seen by others, even as the woman struggles with that aching back, that sore stomach, all of those strange sensations all over their body. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. And Transfiguration Sunday is, so to speak, all about the glow. No, not the pregnancy glow, but the glow all the same. In our Old Testament lesson, Moses talks to God on Mount Sinai and comes down from that mountain glowing. So much so that he eventually has to put a veil over his face as to not blind those people that are looking at him. Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, mentions this legendary glow that Moses had. And of course, our gospel lesson for today is all about the glow. It is about Jesus glowing with glory, revealing himself to those closest followers as God himself. Yes, Transfiguration Sunday is all about the glow. As we return today to our epistle lesson, where Paul is writing to the Corinthians, we notice that he is speaking there about more than the glow that Moses had when he spoke to God on Sinai. For Paul speaks about a glow that you and I are to have as well. You see, he says that all of us that have been welcomed into the new covenant, ushered in by our Lord Jesus, are blessed now to behold the glory of God in the face of Christ. Yes, just like Moses, who saw the glory of God on the mountain, and later in that tabernacle, and just like the apostles who saw the glory of God up on that Mount of Transfiguration, you and I are blessed to behold the glory of God as well. When and where does that happen for us? Do we need to go out and put on our hiking shoes and climb up a mountain in order to get a glimpse of that glory? In order that we might come back glowing a little bit? No, we don't need to make such a hike. For God assures us that it happens here today. As our minds are transformed by the renewal of the Word. It'll happen next Sunday as we step into the presence of God at his altar. It happens every time we get to see Jesus more clearly through the revelation of the Word. Yes, Jesus is transfigured before us. Every time we meet the Word, whether it is in words, in water, in bread, or in wine, Jesus is transfigured before you, you start to glow. It's just how it works. As he is revealed before you, that light that is all around him begins to fill your heart so that you have the sure knowledge of the glory of God because you have seen the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, when you're around the glorious God, you begin to glow. And that glow is something that other people notice. In a very real way, it's much like the pregnancy glow. In the fact that the person who is actually glowing doesn't even usually know they are doing so. Now, they're struggling with sin. They're fighting temptation. They're seeking to keep that old man plunged underneath the waters of baptism where he belongs. But all the time they're doing that, the world still sees a glow lit by the Spirit. They see it in kind words that are spoken. They see it in sacrificial actions that are taken. They see it in pure thoughts that are expressed. They see it in actions of integrity in the workplace. They see it in true love expressed in families and in relationships. They see it in respect that is manifested in school halls and locker rooms. They see it when the needy are fed. They see it when the sick are cared for. They see it when the poor in spirit have good news proclaimed to them. Yes, these are the things that start to happen when one takes the time to simply behold Jesus. Those people who behold Jesus are aglow with good works, and the world notices it. Indeed, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us, making us into the holy people he wants us to be. And this work of us becoming aglow is his work. All we're called to do is simply behold Jesus, and we are promised that this work will happen. And Paul says that, in fact, the more we behold the glory of God, the more we glow. He says we are changed from one degree of glory into the next. He says we become more and more like our Lord Jesus. That we are crafted into his image. Just as Adam and Eve in perfection were crafted into God's image so many years ago. Yes, as we behold Jesus, he does in us his work of recreating us. But unfortunately, sometimes you and I resist such crafting. After all, sometimes we're not sure that we want a glow about us that is noticeable by others. But we quite like blending right into our world. We like doing the same things, watching the same shows, driving the same cars. We like spending our money in the same way, telling the same jokes, spending our free time the same ways. Sometimes perhaps we're fearful that if we truly stop to behold the Lord Jesus too much and too intently, we might just be thought of as a little weird, or certainly at least a little extreme in how our faith affects our lives. And then there are those other times when we're not resisting the crafting of the Holy Spirit, but yet, we still don't quite get there. You see, in those times, the Spirit inside of us wishes for such formation. But our flesh is weak. And so we end up not making time to behold Jesus in his glory as it is revealed in the Scriptures. We miss church. Our place in Bible class remains empty. Our Bible in our homes remains closed. Our prayer life is weak. Our holy conversations with one another are not very regular. And when all of this happens, indeed the glow about us can start to fade. But thanks be to our Lord Jesus, that when our glow begins to fade, the story is not over. You see, See, when Jesus first climbed onto the Mount of Transfiguration, he only took the closest of his followers, because it was not yet time to reveal exactly who he was to all people. But today, as Jesus reveals himself again as the one and only true and glorious God, he invites all of us to see it. For now is the time for his true identity to be revealed among all people. Now is the time for all of us to behold his glory. Now is the time for this to happen not only on mountaintops, but in every low place that you and I live and work and breathe. For those of us that have fallen short of the glory of God, and realize today that perhaps we're not glowing quite like we should be, the fact that Jesus invites us to come and to see his glory is great news indeed. It's good news because today, as we are invited to see him transfigured by his word, we indeed are invited to receive the forgiveness of our sins. We are invited to see God again face to face in the face of our Lord Jesus. We are invited to behold the glory shown not only on Mount Sinai to Moses or the Mount of Transfiguration to those apostles, but shown to the world as he hung upon a tree on Mount Calvary. Yes, we today are invited to see the kind of glory that cannot be held inside of a tomb. Today, as we behold the glory of God, we rejoice, for in the glory of God, all sin is destroyed and all holiness is created. The sin that has robbed our lives of the glow is gone, and the glory of God makes us to shine again. Yes, you and I, we leave here today with that transfiguration glow. Well, it's not so much something that we will notice, but the world will. They will see it and they will ask us eventually, what is it that causes you to live like that? And we will be blessed to tell them. Having our minds transformed by the Word of God, that's what causes it. Having his light in our hearts as we receive the sacrament, that's what causes it. Beholding our Lord Jesus in the fullness of all of his glory, that is what causes the glow